How are we doing? My computer fell asleep. That's good you and I didn't. And thank you, Song, for the wonderful testimony, and Joanne for sharing. And I'm always very, very thankful for this music team. They just remind me and say, Bruce, you can't preach unless we sing this hallelujah. So thank you for doing it and getting me ready to preach today. We want to look at the theme, flee, follow, and fight, and let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, God, for this week when you brought another child unto yourself. Thank you, God, for the many that prayed and many that shared with songs during these days and over the years. We just thank you, God, that we can just rejoice in what you have done. Today, Lord God, I just ask you again for your anointing upon me. Thank you for the words that you've given to me over these last couple weeks. I just pray as I share that you would do the work that only you can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. They were reminding me that time might be kind of short today, so don't take too much time, but I'll just go quickly. I talk fast, you listen fast, and we will be just fine. And we look at this theme today of flee, follow, fight. Marilyn read the passages of Scripture, and just a little bit of a reminder here. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were once called, and have confessed the great confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging him to leave those things behind that would control him, and to follow after the Lord Jesus, and to fight the fight that we all are going to face, and we face every day. So it's just a bit of a reminder for you today as we share some thoughts. It says, flee these things. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what sinful activities do we struggle with? In Hebrews 12, it talks about, and the sin that does so easily beset us, or the sin that bothers us the most. And we all could reflect on the things that we struggle with the most. You don't struggle with things that I do, and vice versa. But the reminder in God's word is to flee those things that control us and hurt us. In Proverbs chapter 6, the writer there, Solomon, talks about seven things that God hates. He says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. And I'm sure as we look at that list, we could say, Lord, there are a few things in there that I need to be bringing to you and being reminded of the fact that I fail in some of those areas. Not only do we are reminded of that, but we also need to ask God to forgive us for that. And then Jesus in Mark chapter 7 says this: do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Of course, we can look at that list, and there's some similarities between the list that Solomon gives and the list that the Lord Jesus gave. And we can find ourselves in some of those situations, and we need to be saying, God, help us to flee from those things. You know the story as well as I do. Eve listened to the serpent, She looked around, probably wondering when her husband would say something. And her husband was probably too busy sleeping, or he had his hands behind his back. I don't know what it was, but he was there. And he should have been doing something as well. But as the dialogue continued, we find that Eve looked at the fruit. God said, don't touch it. Don't eat it. She lingered for a while, and maybe she walked back and forth, wondering what she should do. Began to lust over that piece of fruit that the serpent said, oh, it's good. Not only is it good, but you're going to know all about what God knows. And as she continued to lust, she lost by reaching up, taking the fruit. And of course, right away, they knew. After Adam had a taste of the fruit, they both knew that what they did was wrong. David was supposed to be at war. The king at those days, he was supposed to go with his army. He wasn't supposed to be sitting back on his laurels and eating and just relaxing. He was supposed to be out with the army. But we know that Satan can set up some traps. It's a matter of whether we're going to follow Satan or we're going to follow our own desires. Instead of being out with the army, he was back watching, looking over to another rooftop and seeing Bathsheba bathing. And with David and with Eve, he looked, he continued to look. Instead of turning away and saying, what am I doing here? He began to linger and say, well, this is kind of a nice place to be. And he lusted and he wanted her, called one of his servants to invite Bathsheba back to the castle. And we know the story very, very well. So he lost many, many things as a result of that. Joseph was different. He had the same situation as the other two. But Joseph decided that he wasn't going to be controlled by the dictates of his heart, his own desires. He wanted to make some changes, and he was going to obey God regardless. And so instead of looking and lingering and lusting and losing, he ran, he fled from Potiphar's wife and left his coat in her hands. And of course, again, we know the story that he ended up in prison because he refused to commit adultery with his boss's wife. 1 Peter 2:1 says, laying aside all evil, all malice, all the things that are evil. And that Greek term, laying aside, is apothemenai. That Greek word means this: you take it and you throw it away from you, just like you had a coat that was on fire. A person that's in a flaming house gets their coat on fire, runs out to protect themselves and realize their coat is on fire. They take that coat off and they throw it aside. And that's the Greek term here, apothemenai, laying aside. And that's what these other individuals should have done. And that's a reminder for us to lay aside, to throw those things, to flee those things that are going to entrap us. I'm going to give you another list, and I know we all fit in there as we go along. Sinful behaviors that we must flee. Pride in our life. Gossip. Control of others. Jealousy. Evil thoughts. Self-pity. Self-pity. I think Satan has everyone on this every once in a while. How come everybody else gets a better deal than I do? How come their farm machinery doesn't break down or their car or truck doesn't break down? How come I'm the one that ends up with the bad deal all the time? Self-pity. We need to really watch for that, even as believers, because it's very, very easy to be controlled by that. Anger or rage. The enemy can make us use rage and anger. He's going to defeat the home. He's going to defeat all those around us as well. Sexual immorality, and of course, we looked at the one who said no to it, Joseph, and the one that said yes to it, King David. And it's not just the idea of getting involved sexually with a woman or with a man. It's also the thoughts leading up to that that can be very, very destructive, as we know from Scripture. The good thing about God, he doesn't leave anything out. He's very, very clear. He says, don't do this. This is going to hurt you. Bitterness. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of people who've been bitter. They've been hurt by others in their lives. Song gave the testimony that he had to forgive those people that have hurt him. And all of us need to do that. Don't allow bitterness to hurt us. In fact, Hebrews 12:15 says, don't let a root of bitterness grow up within you, whereby many are defiled. And my understanding of that passage of Scripture is this. When you allow bitterness to control you, the enemy takes control, and you become defiled. You get to the place where you cannot read, you cannot pray, you cannot witness. Your Christian life is at the lowest ebb that's ever been. So if I'm talking to you in terms of bitterness, you need to deal with it. That's one thing I needed to deal with as a new Christian, coming to Christ, coming from my background. I'm very, very thankful that God would not let me go until I dealt with that and forgave the people that had hurt me. Dear ones, when you go to bed at night and you reflect on those things, you should have nobody in your mind that you continue to resent or be bitter against. And the reason being is, God is very, very clear. Jesus speaking, he says, if you forgive those who've hurt you, God the Father will forgive you. But if you don't, God can't forgive you. Paraphrase a little bit, but you understand what I'm talking about. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and that, of course, leads into what we've been talking about, unforgiveness. Over the years, I found a little exercise that I used to give to my clients. Something that was very, very easy for them to understand. We see it every day. And I had them put that into practice. They were struggling with some things. And so what I would do is I would give them a little icon, insignia. And underneath that, I would have some Bible verses and some commitment times that they need to use to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus. So what I would encourage them to do is to put it on their fridge, on their makeup mirror, wherever it was, to remind them to stop. We don't go running through those things. If we do, we get ourselves in trouble. It gets a little scary at this time of the year if the ice is pretty thick and the tires are a little bit worn. We're going to run through that. Well, in a spiritual sense as well, we need to stop. Otherwise, it's going to be very destructive in our life. And so just a couple of statements that I would give them on a sheet of paper with that statement, say stop. When we're tempted to entertain evil thoughts, say stop. When we're tempted to think about evil thoughts, say stop. And the louder you can say it to yourself, the stronger you will be. Jesus said, I could take my thoughts captive, and so, Lord, I want to obey you. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down his imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you're going to get bad thoughts. You're human. Satan doesn't like you. He is going to fill your mind with all kinds of junk if you give him that opportunity. And when it starts coming, you just need to say stop and quote the verses that will be helpful to you. That passage from 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 is very, very good. We walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when we get into that third topic of fight, we'll relate to that a little bit more. Say stop when we're tempted to speak evil about another person. We need to say stop. Then say, dear Father, you said I could pull down these strongholds of gossip and judging, so I choose to obey you. If you have struggles with some of those things, that's a good little sign to put up around your house. And if your husband or wife starts asking questions, what are you doing with that? Just say, I'm practicing spiritual discipline so I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit instead of being defeated every day. Dear ones, get that in your mind continually. If I use that when I'm tempted right away, I can deal with it. So often what we do is we did with Eve, like Eve and David. Oh, we just entertain those thoughts for a little while. And then they become very destructive as they choke us in our spiritual walk. When I feel inferior, every Christian has struggled with this. Satan doesn't want you to feel strong and powerful. When I feel inferior and insecure and run myself down by statements such as dumb, stupid, retarded, crazy, we need to say stop. Then say, Dear Father, forgive me for attacking your image. Dear ones, get that in your mind. You are made in God's image after his likeness. If you're running yourself down, you are running down Almighty God. Don't do that. Say, God, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to fill it with something that's very, very good. So we must bring into captivity every wrong thought to God. And so we make a choice. This whole message today is about a choice. The baptism was about a choice. Song wanted to be baptized before he went back to China. The timing was so great. That's the way God does it. Timing is always the greatest. God, I choose to pull down the stronghold of pride again. I just pull these again. Pride, gossip, lust, jealousy in my life and replace it with the Spirit of Christ. When Christ is in control, these things have to go. God, I choose to pull down the strongholds of fear, anger, control, bitterness, and replace it with the Spirit of Christ. And we know that passage so well from 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. The psalmist reminds us, blessed is the man, the woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Be in God's word every day. That's what's going to make us strong. And we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And in a very sober statement right after that, the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. We don't want to be like chaff. We want to be like that tree standing beside the riverbank on Saskatchewan Crescent. Second point is to follow after righteousness. We flee these things and then we follow after righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. This passage of scripture from John 10 I love so much, I use it so often. When Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Follow after righteousness, follow after me. And that's what God wants us to do, to follow after him. And then it says to follow after godliness. Ask yourself the question, Lord, am I godly? Ask yourself the question right now, God, am I godly? When the Spirit of God wakes me up, I look in the mirror and say, God, am I godly? Am I a godly person? And do I have faith and love and patience? And that'll lead us, of course, into that passage that Joanne gave to Song today about the fruit of the Spirit. And we find there that this is not an option, it's a command. It's a command to be saved, it's a command to be baptized. It's a command to give to the work of the Lord. And we need to listen to what he says. And of course, Galatians 5, the fruit of Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's gentleness, and it's goodness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And then the end of that passage in Philippians 4 begins by rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your testimony be made unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep yourself or keep your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think or meditate on these things. And then verse 9 says, and the God of peace will be with you. Follow after righteousness. That's what God wants us to do. You probably have an idea what that is. I'm just pull that up. Thanks to Mr. Internet or whoever his name is. Mr. Google or whatever. I don't know whether it's Frank Google or George Google or whoever it is, but we can do that. And of course, we're reminded to fight the good fight. So we flee things, we follow after righteousness, we follow after the Lord Jesus, and then we fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6, of course, that's a wonderful passage of scripture that reminds us how we can win the battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't do it on our own. God the Father never, ever expected you to win the battle on your own. That's why Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, not only to guide us into all truth, but to help us fight the battle. We cannot contend and beat the enemy without the power of the Spirit of God. And so it talks about strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Take your stand. But you have to start to say, God, I want to flee these things. I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be in my life. I want to be godly. I want to be a man of faith, a man of peace. And then we can stand. Why? Because we come against the enemy. I said right at the outset, Satan does not like you. He did a good job with Eve. He did a good job with Adam. He did a good job with David. He didn't do a very good job with Joseph, because Joseph understood what righteousness was all about. We need to take up the whole armor of God that we might stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what God wants us to do. So what are some of the weapons? And I've shared some of these with you before, but just a reminder. What are the weapons that we have? Well, we have God the Father. He justifies us. There was a time, perhaps in your life and in my life, where God the Father was not a good term. When my dad left us when I was age 6 to pursue a wonderful career of wine, women, and song and adultery, I didn't think too much of that, nor the whole area of God the Father, but I understand very clearly that he loves me with an everlasting life, love, and he justifies me. He makes me righteous because of Jesus. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hung on the cross, and he's hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we can put that into a full spiritual context. A few days ago, and Andy and Bert McBride led song to Jesus Christ to make sure. Right at that very, very time, the Lord Jesus Christ took control. And what a change. And we're so very thankful. God, the Holy Spirit, ask God to move in your life. The power of the Spirit of God. I've already said, we don't live the Christian life. I do not live the Christian life without God's Holy Spirit living within me. Very important. You want to get to know more about the Holy Spirit? Spend time in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because it's Jesus teaching on the Holy Spirit, him sending the Holy Spirit, and what the power could do. And then you could add to that Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and go on from there. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. And then the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him. And so the angel of the Lord is the one, as we read a lot of times in the Old Testament, he came to look after things, whether it was Joshua or Moses or Gideon. And then for us personally, I believe we have ministering angels. Why do I believe that? Because Hebrews 1:14 says, are there not ministering angels sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? If you're a believer in Christ, dear one, you're an heir of salvation. And there are ministering angels there to look after you. You could probably give me stories of the examples where the ministering angels set you free from a horrible car accident or other situation. And so we're thankful for them. What is another weapon? Of course, God's word. Use it often. The word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be in God's word every day. We eat every day. We feed our physical needs. We need to feed our spiritual needs. One of the greatest things that Satan uses for the Christian is get them away from God's word. And so let me encourage you. You've heard me preach that. You're probably tired of it. Well, when everybody in the world does that, then I'll stop preaching it. But I don't think that's going to happen. And then, of course, Christ's blood. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. Of course, when we're doing teaching on spiritual warfare at seminary, we go into this a little bit more, and we talk about deliverance and demonization and so on. We always claim the power of the blood of Christ to set the people free. The armor of God, we just talked about that. Put it on. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying. Of course, that leads me to the next one. Prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And then the assurance of life in eternity with Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Do you know if you passed on today that you would go into the very presence of Almighty God? Dear ones, that's the most important message that I can give today. As I stand beside someone who's ready to pass into eternity, they don't know how many minutes or how many hours, but to me, that's the most important question that I can ask for them. It's going to be easy for me to preach here next Sunday at 1:30 because I know Margaret Brown had a personal relationship with Jesus. And her main concern was that her family would walk with Jesus Christ. The assurance of life in eternity with Jesus. I look forward to that. And you and I have some friends up there already. It's going to be a good day when we get to be with them. And then a personal application is this. But you, child of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called. The reward of that is eternal life and the crown of crowns that will await us. And let's pray.